Hi, my name is Rick Conrad, a reporter with QCCR. As part of the federal election campaign, we're speaking to the candidates in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. Today, I'm joined by Green Party candidate Mark Embrett. Welcome to QCCR, Mark, and thanks for coming in to talk to us today.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
So tell us a bit about yourself and why you wanted to run in this campaign.
Certainly. Thank you for the question. I'm from Queensland, Nova Scotia, born and bred Nova Scotian. And, you know, I wanted to run because I think, like a lot of people in the province, we're political observers, and we've really seen how the politics have really become very partisan. And, you know, and it's really resulted in a lot of leaders representing their party instead of their communities and the people in their communities. And what we've seen really is more and more division. We've seen the highest rate of income inequality in Canada, which is a very good indicator of the health of a population. And, you know, we've seen middle and low income families getting taxed more than the rich, than billionaires in Canada, which we think is unfair. So after seeing all of this really, I think, you know, policy deterioration in our province and in our riding and in our country, I thought it was time to stop being a passive observer and really start to become a little more active, make people more aware of what are the solutions out there. We don't always have to keep on doing the same old thing. And so I decided to align myself with the Green Party because their values around equity and transparency in government and fairness in policies really echoed my own beliefs and my own values. And so I aligned myself with them, and, you know, this South Shore St. Margaret's Bay riding is where I live, so I really wanted to be a force for good in this area and get to know my community a lot better too, which has really been happening.
So what's the reaction been like so far from people?
It's been really positive, to be honest. I think that the awareness of really what the political or what the Green Party stands for isn't well enough known in the area, you know, and a lot of people focus on, you know, the leading horses, the red, Team Red and Team Blue, you know, and so I've really only had positive responses when I go to farmers markets, I was at a forestry woodland conference just on the weekend, got to talk to a lot of landowners that are really interested in a sustainable environment that really not only helps them in their ownership and their land, but also helps the environment in general, and are really concerned about these things. And so they were really excited about having somebody in the riding that really is going to push for those things and support kind of those things. You know, I know there's always a perception that, you know, can the Greens win, you know, and you know, even if we can't win in this election, a lot of people are positive about the direction that the Green platform is pushing policies and, you know, and push and trying to make the other parties respond to what we're suggesting and the positive response that people have gotten. Because in Canada, there's a majority of people that want more environmental protectionism, and there's a majority of people that want fair taxation. So there's a lot of people that stand behind what we stand behind, but we're seen as, you know, not capable of winning. So it's I think that's really the only negative connotation that I've heard. But I think our vision is long term. You know, you got to focus not only the people living here now, but the people that will be voting in the future, the youth. And I think the Green Party preaches sustainability. So we need to be sustainable as a party. And really, that's kind of a focus area for us.
What are some of the issues you've been hearing from Queens County voters so far in the campaign?
I think one of the main things that I've heard in this area, and I will admit that my approach to canvassing has been more starting with where I live, which is the top of the riding, and making my way down. So I haven't been talking to as many people in the county yet, but we're hearing a lot of concerns around, you know, the cost of living and the rising cost of living, kind of some of the poor infrastructure that's in the areas. You know, and those resonate beyond just Queens County. There's the fisheries and the conversations happening between you know, the government and our current leaders in the Indigenous communities, as well as the workers and the fishermen in the industry. Trying to find a solution for that is, you know, is complex. But I think, you know, what we're hearing is there needs to be more engagement. There needs to be more discussions around a fair solution for everybody. I know there's a lot of concerns around the shoreline and erosion, and for trying to come up with some policies and some ideas to protect that. And, you know, we come up with, we're really trying to push for what we call a national defense force for, it's non-military, so it's civilian-led, but it will be present across the country, focusing mostly in rural areas, especially where we want to train a next generation of environmentalists, of conservationists, of people that are interested in preventing climate change, and be in those areas to support businesses from transitioning to a more greener lifestyle, support the infrastructure that needs to be built around shorelines and within woodlands. And there will be a force of around 150,000 Canadians is what we're planning for. And we're really hoping that we'll get some footing and some, you know, get some energy behind it, because that would create jobs in the area too.
So what would that actually look like? Like what would those people actually do in a community?
There's a wide spectrum of what they could do, but we would make sure that they'd be trained and educated, and they would be in a community. And if there was a business that might be interested in going greener, you know, we would have people trained in, you know, in that field, and they could go into the business for and help transition them from, you know, whether it's an output or whether it's just during their operations, train them to be a little bit more ecologically friendly, you know, and more environmentally sustainable. It could be working with people who own woodlots, going through their area, suggesting ideas on how they could promote growth of certain you know, renewable resources, or do protection for wildlife living in that area. It can be working with fisheries on maybe they're having a certain issue with a certain type of species, whether it be, you know, an overabundance or an invasive species or a rare species on its way to extinction. They can work with them on finding solutions on the ground. Somebody that can go in there and really help us transition as a society into a more sustainable one, because those people will be growing up, the next generations will be growing up with this as a norm. And that's really what we want, and increased knowledge and awareness.
You mentioned the commercial fishery, and many people in Queens County involved in the fishery are concerned about how the federal government has handled that industry for the past number of years. How would you, as a Green Party representative or a Green Party government, respond to those concerns?
That's a great question. It's a very complicated issue, I think, because it's an industry that's, you know, been at the heart of Nova Scotia industry for a long time, and, you know, and it's part of our identity, right? And so we really want to promote, fisheries in all its ways in a responsible and a sustainable manner. So that would really be our focus. We would want to make sure that Indigenous rights are respected, and there's conversations happening there if when necessary. We would really want to create more enforcement around illegal fishing. We're seeing that now with the is it Elvers? So I think those are the main ones, but we will be a government that will promote that industry. It might look a little different. And I think, but in terms of making sure that, you know, we're not, you know, not ripping and shipping the ocean. And a big part of this is being economically sovereign in Canada. So one of the things that we would propose is that we stop too much exporting of goods into other countries, and we try to keep those raw resources, renewable resources in the country. And fish is one of those things. And we want to have crown corporations buying some of those things that we export at export prices and keeping them in kind of a reserve. But you'd want to be able to sell those fish locally within Canada at lower prices because we're not, there's not that extra processing and that extra charge that goes into exporting and then maybe even bringing them back at a higher price. So trying to keep those prices lower. And, you know, I think Canada, the federal government and these grant corporations would be great customers for the fisheries and keep it sustainable.
How realistic is that to have a Crown corporation buying up fish and then selling it to Canadians?
Well, it's definitely a bold change. You know, I don't want to speculate on how realistic it might be, but I think it would be very beneficial. Really, with what's happening these days, specifically with tariffs, you know, and prices going up, you know, we need solutions. We need bold solutions. And one way to do that is really for Canada to be more independent, more economically sovereign. And, you know, it can be difficult to do, but difficulty isn't a reason not to do something.
Would that idea also cut off the traditional export markets like the U.S. and China for fishermen?
Well, I wouldn't say cut off. We would, I guess, supplement that, potentially replace some of it, but it wouldn't come at the cost of the fisheries. We would ensure that it's being purchased at the same price that they would receive for exporting.
So speaking of the fishery, it brings me to coastal protection. Fishermen are also very concerned about protecting coastlines mm-hmm. and the fishing grounds. We saw that in the battle over fish farms in Liverpool Bay. But more broadly speaking, what would the Green Party do about coastal protection in the riding and in this area specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we had a great act that was passed, I think in 2019, the Coastal Protection Act. And that was a very positive step forward because a lot of policies in there were and changes were grounded in evidence and grounded in you know, lessons learned from other areas. But then the act was thrown away and a new lesser act was put in place. And it's not well based on the evidence. You know, it's not going to be overly impactful. So I think there is a role for the federal government to step in and, you know, in collaborations with communities, with provinces to kind of try to reinforce some of those policies that were proposed and find new solutions because evidence is always changing. You know, I think one thing we'd want to do is stop the open net fishing. And encourage those businesses to move those on land. I know they'd be more expensive for the businesses, but it'd be much less harmful, you know, because we're seeing that those have negative impacts on the wildlife and potentially on our shorelines. So I do think there are a variety of things that we can do, but it's hard to propose too many without really speaking to people first and understanding the complexities that go into it.
Another issue that came up in the past year down in here in Queens County, of course, is talk of a possible new craft pulp mill or bioproducts mill run by Northern Pulp / Paper Excellence, which is owned by Domtar. What would your stand be on bringing a mill of that kind back to Liverpool?
I think that we want industries to thrive. We want people to have, we want people to find meaningful jobs in where they live. And so there are some positives to bringing an industry like that into an area. However, before any of that happened, we would need to understand where it's going, what are the environmental impacts of that, what are they going to be doing to ensure that it doesn't have negative environmental consequences, trying their best to work with the community on any of these solutions and regulate it as much as, you know, as much use the full force of the government to ensure that they're doing it responsibly. But if all those conditions aren't being met, then we would be against it.
But the province has said that a new mill could employ hundreds of people, at least in the initial stages of construction. Wouldn't that be worth it in an area like Queens County?
Well, I think bringing industry and bringing jobs is incredibly important, but we don't want it to be at the cost of, you know, our land and our environment and the planet. So the Green Party would really propose alternative solutions. You know, we're a powerhouse down here with opportunities for renewable energies, you know, whether that be, you know, like bold changes, like trying to maybe building a hydro plant, or, you know, more solar energy, more wind energy. You know, we would want to focus on creating jobs in those industries. And, you know, and we do, and again, with the Civil Defense Force, we would suggest that that would bring a fair bit of jobs into the area also.
You mentioned cost of living earlier in the conversation. How would some of your party's proposals help with that?
The big change that we're proposing is eliminating taxes on individuals making $40,000 or less. So people making minimum wage are taxed more than the billionaires in our country. And so we would eliminate that tax for anyone making under $40,000 a year. They would not pay the income taxes. So that can be around, I think, $35,000 to $5,000 a year in their pocket, which will help with a lot of affordability. You know, we do have housing plans we have the largest housing platform that's been proposed since the 70s. And, you know, it's 50,000 affordable homes a year. And we actually have criteria for what's considered affordable. It's 30%, no more than 30% of monthly income would go towards the housing. And so those combined, and then also the increase of 1% on Canada's top 1% earners is another way. So that's how we propose that a lot of our reforms and changes and policies get funded. We do think that's a fair taxation policy. It would also be one of the biggest tax reforms that's been done since the 60s. Your question originally was around kind of like, how do we address the cost of living and stuff? And I do think what I said before about the economic sovereignty in Canada and Canadians selling Canadian goods to Canadians instead of internationally is another positive that could reduce the cost of a lot of goods in the community. And then, you know, we would stop all of the new non-renewable fossil fuel projects that are happening. We'd put an end to those, and we would close kind of subsidies that go to those corporations, which then also puts more money in our purse, which could be then transferred more to the people.
So Mark, I've asked other candidates this question, but what's your closing argument for why people should vote green in South Shore St. Margaret's?
Like I said, I think at the beginning, a lot of people are positive about the Green Party policies and, you know, the future that we're proposing for Canada. But they're hesitant on voting green because, you know, as you look at the polls, you know, I think we're polling at 4%. So realistically, you know, we have a low probability of winning the riding. And there's concerns that, you know, it could be a wasted vote to vote green. But, you know, we're really thinking about it as in, if there is a minority government moving forward, you know, who would you want to be in a position to fight and represent a community? Would it be a grassroots campaign and organization like the Green Party, or would it be somebody who is more representing their party and voting along party lines than necessarily voting for you and your communities? So the Green could be in a position to have large negotiating power or sway votes, and that's really one strategic way to think about it. But the way that I really think about it is the Green Party's in here for the long haul, and we're focusing on youth votes, we're focusing on the future. And I think that, you know, whether it's the Green Party or not that ends up implementing a lot of these policies, we think we're putting pressure on the leaders of today and leaders of tomorrow to to think about them as possible solutions to a lot of the issues that we're seeing.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark Embritt. He's the Green Party candidate for South Shore St. Margaret's. He joined us today to speak about the issues in the election. Thanks a lot for coming in, Mark.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
This was part of our series of conversations with candidates in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. We've also interviewed Conservative candidate Rick Perkins, Liberal Jessica Fancy Landry, and Patrick Boyd from the People's Party of Canada. Independent candidate Hayden Henderson has not responded to our request for an interview. This interview was recorded on April 7th and edited for length. For QCCR and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Rick Conrad.